Blog Talk Radio.
And yes, indeed, that is the sound of the Frat House Sports Garage open. A tad bit late on Friday evening. Evening all, welcome into a special edition, an unusual Friday broadcast of our Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Coming to you here on a Friday night. Why? Why Friday night? Well, because we have a NASCAR race tomorrow evening, Saturday. So when we have the races scheduled on Saturday, you can expect to hear, our Race Train Motorsports Hour program right here on Friday night. And I think we determined that this year there will be a couple that'll be fewer than we did last year. I think there were 7 last year. I think we're going to only be having 5 this year. This evening as well, we will keep true to our word, as this program tonight will be exactly 1 hour. Normally we go 90 minutes, and on many Friday nights, in fact, when we do these programs on Friday nights, we will go 90 minutes, but tonight we're going to go just 60. And so, where are we going? Well, I'll tell you what. Last week, race number 10. So we've got 10 races in the books for this current season. Last week just so happened to be Talladega. What did we get at Talladega? Well, exactly what – well, maybe not exactly what you might expect. What you might expect perhaps maybe when you start talking the big one. Yeah, we had a big one at Talladega. We'll talk about that. Oh, man alive. It was a good one, too. It was a good one. Chase Elliott's car, riding up the wall. Seriously. And Allmendinger ending up on his lid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about the big one there. But when I say you got everything that you'd expect, one of the things you didn't expect was Ricky Stenhouse Jr., collecting up his very first Cup checkered flag. And I got to tell you, from myself, I'm good with it. I think it's great. Hey, it's Ricky Stenhouse. Would I have preferred to see perhaps maybe some other first-timer get? Maybe. But, hey, I like when you get a first-timer winning some of these races. Look, after a while, it gets a little bit monotonous when you're seeing the same names over and over and over again. I say this. I say this being the JGR fan that I was and having all those JGR wins from last year, and JGR sits here this year without a single win. But seriously, when you think about it, the Keselowski's winning constantly, the Jimmy Johnson's winning constantly, names over and over and over, Logano, and Kyle Busch. Yeah, even that's a little bit dull. So, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I'm good with it. Now, I think the question becomes this, which I think is a little more interesting and perhaps intriguing. Does that give Stenhouse now, does that make him legitimate? And when I say legitimate, does that mean he wasn't legitimate before? Yeah, that's the angle I'm going to go at it with tonight. We're going to take a look at that as well. Is there some newfound legitimacy now for Ricky Stenhouse Jr.? Because, look, let's get it straight. More than likely, he's in the chase.
No, I think it's automatic now. You're automatically in with a win in the playoffs. It's not the chase anymore.
Well,
I think you're automatically in with a win now.
Yeah, but what if we have more than 16 winners?
Well, I don't know how NASCAR deals with that. Maybe they just add them. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's automatically in.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, we're operating by the same rules as last year, right?
No. It's
okay.
Playoffs instead of chase now.
Oh, geez.
It's slightly different.
When did I miss this?
Well, it's just semantics probably, but they did rename it.
All right.
It is slightly different. I'm pretty sure he's automatically in. And I don't think it matters where he finishes in points or any of that anymore either. I think they, they really, NASCAR, come on.
Huh. Well, we'll have to, maybe we can get a clarification on this. Well, I'm sitting here like completely dumbfounded, actually. I'm going to be honest with you. All right,
I'll do some research while we're
just when
here.
I got used to the way that it was. Just when I, let's introduce this. I got used to it, and I was actually starting to dig it now, apparently. Okay. Anyhow, look, bottom line is this. We wouldn't have had a race. We can't have a race without penalties, and last week we did as well. Fourth place finisher had a good race, but, of course, it's Talladega, at Talladega, as a result of Talladega, and the big one, and things like that, you do get something of a mixed-up finishing board, leaderboard at the end. But you got to give it nonetheless to Eric Almirola. Fourth place finish. But, back it up the bus there, buddy. That's a 35-point deduction for not passing post-race inspection. Yep, Eric Almirola was this year's lucky recipient, this week's lucky recipient of NASCAR's penalty. If we get the time for it, guess what, folks? There has been a Carl Edwards sighting, and it was behind the wheel of a car, and that car was moving at about 230 miles an hour. And we will touch on that. Apparently, Dale Jr. has already got his second career lined up. We'll talk about that one as well. Maybe he'll be teaming up with Tim Allen at some point in the future. We've talked about all the crazy things that they're doing to try to attract attention and fans and ratings. We talked a little bit last week about how Richmond International Raceway used to have no trouble selling out their facility. 120,000 strong, they're having difficulty getting half of that anymore. Richmond announced this week for their fall race, yeah, they're going to be partnering with WWE. Oh, boy, that's where it's going. All right, so tomorrow we are at race number 11, and race number 11 takes us to Kansas Speedway, and that's where we will be. Qualifying is going on as we are broadcasting this right now. So we'll touch on that. We'll touch on, the standings. We might get a little fantasy chit-chat in here. I'm not sure if Sidekick's going to have that ready to go or not. But we will also give an update as well on our internal little fun Eat My Dust competition challenge that we have going here. I do have a couple of picks from some of our competitors as well. So if anybody wants to jump in with us for this hour, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964 is how you can get hold of us here at Fred House Sports. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, don't hesitate to leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. Good evening, Liz. I see Liz over in the chat room. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. At Frat House Mike is how you can reach me right there. I'd be more than happy to bring your comment to the air or respond to you using that media. All right, so one of our mechanics is here. I'm hoping that Sidekick will be able to join us. You already heard from Brandon there. Brandon,
sorry about that.
That's okay. No problem. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I'm good with it. You said the same thing. Yeah, yeah, all good with it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was good to say. Anytime you get a, you know, a different winner, I think it's kind of cool. I mean, any first-time winner, you know, you're not going to – generally, you're not going to have a lot of disdain for them. I mean, because usually you only get to hate people once they start winning all the damn time, you know, like the Jimmy Johnsons and the Kyle Busches, you know. So, you know, Stenhouse has never really, you know, probably done much to get on anybody's nerves yet, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we'll see.
The finishing order at Talladega last week. And again, remember now, it was Talladega. So there were quite a few cars that were knocked out of the race. I'm trying to remember what lap that would have been where that where the big one occurred. Let's see. Do I have the lap count on that one? It was in around 168. In around 168 was when the big one came. Keselowski was affected. Austin Dillon, Harvick was affected. Danica Patrick, Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano. Who else am I seeing who was affected in here? Who am I missing? Well, of course, AJ Allmendinger, Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., Eric Jones. Yeah, on and on and on and on and on. How many cars were affected in this one? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 cars affected in the big one. So remember that as I go through this running order here of how they finished at Talladega. Ricky Stenhouse took the checkered flag. Jamie McMurray came in second. Boy, oh boy, it was, I got to tell you, I got the audio. I'm going to play it here in a second. Of the final, I think it's the final two laps of the race. It was from the time they went back to green flag, right at the end, because the race went to overtime. Just hearing the audio, I listened to it this afternoon. It was exciting all over again, watching them compete between Kyle Busch. It was Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, for the final two laps. It was Jamie McMurray that snuck in there, though, in second place as he threaded the needle between the two of them at one point. So Ricky Stenhouse, Jamie McMurray, Kyle Busch, Eric Almirola, as I pointed out earlier, Casey Kane, Kurt Busch came in sixth, Brad Keselowski seven, Jimmy Johnson eight, Paul Menard nine, and David Reagan came in 10th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., too, by the way, did come in second place in the first stage of the race. So, actually, pretty good race for Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Here is the audio of the final. I want to say it was the final, maybe it might have been three laps, actually.
Green flag waves. If the leader makes it to the overtime line before there's a caution, this will be the last restart of the race.
I'm sorry, it's like the 18 of Kyle Busch has a different second gear than everybody else, so he's restarting first gear.
Jimmy Johnson in the 48 gave Ricky Stenhouse a nice push. Now he gets one from the one of McMurray, and here comes Johnson.
Here they come.
Five outside him.
Here comes Casey Kane.
Stenhouse did a great job to block that run that was coming.
Well,
he's going to get to the inside right here. Great move by Ricky Stenhouse. Will he clear
up?
I think he will.
Come on, get up.
Not yet.
We're past the overtime line. We have a race.
We have a drag.
I tell you, I thought Stenhouse could have made a move up right there, but you can see he's pretty well. He's got some speed for the – he and the 718 are pretty equal.
Fastest car here carries Busch up the race. White flag trying to end a 101 race winless streak for car owner Jack Roush is Ricky Stenhouse. Look at this, four wide.
Oh,
everybody wants to get to the front.
I just don't see how that's going to work out. Side drafter for McMurray on Casey Kane. He's going to get to the rear bumper or go in the middle between Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch.
Now what Stenhouse do? Can he block? Can he block all of them coming at once?
Five wide.
Work it, dude. Work it.
Last lap. Bang. That was
that helped.
Busch into McMurray.
Halfway to the bottom. By two.
Stenhouse gets away a little bit. three wide. Here they come off turn four. This is the finish these fans came and stayed for. Ricky Stenhouse, the pride of Olive Branch, Mississippi, top to bottom. Kyle Busch to the outside, gets blocked by Stenhouse. Here they come. Stenhouse whips it.
Woo-hoo. What a run.
That's making a fifth third better, boys.
What a thrilling
match. It's always fun to see somebody get their first win.
Unbelievable.
Guys, I got to tell you, even in hearing the audio, and that's the third time I've heard it, that was exciting. I mean, it was really an exciting finish to that. Great stuff. All right, let's get, I think we have Sidekick with us here. Let's get Sidekick's thought on Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Sidekick, you there with us?
I am.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. I had said earlier, Ricky Stenhouse won this thing. You know, this is not what you would expect at Talladega, but then, you know, hey, you can never really expect anything. Don't count on anything at Talladega. You know, I'm good with it. I like it. I was actually pleased with it. I was okay with it. How about yourself?
Well, you know, the biggest takeaway I have from the past weekend at Talladega was that Danica Patrick finally got in the winner's circle.
Oh, geez.
How'd I know something like that was coming?
Oh, man alive. Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment here. Yeah,
I mean it took her boyfriend, Ricky Bobby, to win a race to do it.
Oh, Ricky Patrick.
Winner's circle.
Ricky Patrick, get it right.
Yeah, Ricky Patrick.
Oh, man alive.
Got rid of the mullet.
Oh, just to give you the clarification, Mike, they did change it that the winner gets an automatic berth into the round of 16 for the race winner. And it says in parentheses, unless there are more than 16 race winners in a season, then the top 16 and race wins move on. I'm curious how they break ties, but that's what the way the rules read now.
So okay. So then they
you get
do
five,
go to-
you get five playoff points plus an automatic berth into the round of 16 for a race win with the new stage, you know, race stage system.
Okay, so they do.
There you go.
They will revert to points in the event that there's more than 16 winners.
Correct. Well, it says race winners, but I guess you're going to have a whole bunch at one. If you get to over 16, you're not going to have, you know what I mean? Because there's only, 26 races. So
right.
If you do the math, you're going to have a lot tied at one to get, you know, more than 16 winners in 26 races.
Correct.
So. Correct. You know what I mean? There's probably going to be some form of tiebreak at that point, I would imagine.
Right.
But I don't think they're, you know, really expecting it to get to more than that. But that's what the way it reads now. So, and it says nothing about having to, you know, qualify for starts or be in a points position like last year where you had to make the top 30. I don't see anything of that any longer. So it's hard to tell, but you never know. That's
you know,
the way I read it.
They're not expecting more than 16. But consider for a moment, in just the first 10 races, we've already had a couple of unexpecteds make the winner's circle, haven't we now? With Ryan Newman, with Ricky Stenhouse, even a little bit of a, not necessarily a surprise, but, you know, Kyle Larson in there. So, you know, you don't see the same regular faces. You know, and
you don't see anybody winning more than two. I don't think we don't have
so far.
I don't think
so far.
I don't think we have any more than a double winner at this point.
Correct. And you know, it's interesting because all of this coming on the heels of the conversation that we've had, that other media members have had in NASCAR, in on the heels of, well, Dale is leaving, and you know, we had Carl leave last year, and Tony Stewart left last year. And Jeff Gordon the year before, and woe is us. Where are all of our racing stars? And it's very, very interesting that, you know, we're getting the new faces coming through here now. You know, Not that Ryan Newman's new, but, you know, it's just a, to me, it's a good thing. I like it.
Richard Childress was blacked out of Victory Lane for what, 2 or 3 years with that win. They ended a winless streak, so that's quite a bit. And it was probably why Ryan Newman, who had won last for them before, more than likely.
You're absolutely right. Probably right. And like
Harvick's
been
gone now
man.
For quite a while. Yeah.
Would I have preferred? You know, would I have preferred to see a different first time driver racer get it last week? Yeah, maybe. But hey, I'm okay with where it went. But seriously, Psychic, right? You're okay with it, right?
No, I'm good with Ricky Stenhouse in Winner's Circle. Absolutely. It's nice to see different racers win. You know, that was kind of my beef last year with Gibbs and your beef the year before with Penske.
Right.
When you have either teams or drivers, you know, let's throw Jimmy Johnson in there, that, you know, dominate all the races. You know, it's nice to see, you know, a Chris Buescher win albeit a rain shortened race.
I was going to say,
You get to see, Chris Buescher in there. So, you know, it's nice to see that. And, you know, when we go back and we look at the Chris Buescher, you know, everybody stepped up once he run that race. You know, Ford all of a sudden started, you know, paying attention. You know, they gave extra resources or, you know, help, you know, Intel and different things, you know, to help with his cars so that he could stay in the top 30 to, you know, try and get in the chase. You know, so, you know, it's good to see that kind of stuff. You know, it invigorates an organization when you have a team that doesn't win that often get a win. You know,
I think Sidekick that, obviously I can't speak for the entire fan base, but it would seem to me it would invigorate the fan base. And that's something that this fan base needs. I mean, we've talked about this repeatedly now, you know, for a couple of seasons here, you know, attendance problems, ratings problems, you know, interest problems, you know, NASCAR's trying to address it, all the changes that they're constantly making. You know, to see new faces win invigorates, I would think. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the conspiracy theorists out there want to turn the clock back to, you know, hey, we liked it in the old days when, you know, the same people won all the time. I mean, you know, maybe that's what they want. I don't know. But I would think it would invigorate the fan base and that, you know, it would be something that NASCAR would like and encourage. The question I asked in the intro, I'll throw it out here now. And it's, I kind of feel bad asking the question, but I think it does. I think the question's appropriate. Does this win now make Ricky Stenhouse legitimate? And that's not to say that he wasn't a legitimate racer driver before, but look, let's get it straight. Great article over on USA Today. This was May 7th, so what's today? It was 5 days ago. Great article about Ricky Stenhouse and about, you know, talking about him as a driver. And what his career has been like and working, getting that first win, et cetera. One paragraph. I'll read the paragraph. Read the paragraph exactly as it is. Paragraph 3. Leaning against the conference table a few weeks ago, meaning Stenhouse's, jaw tightened subtly as a question from a reporter on a teleconference box referenced how he was best known as being, quote-unquote, Danica's boyfriend. He breathed deeply and delved quickly and fully into the crux of the question and how he felt he and Roush Fenway Racing were on the verge of something. He was right. You know, in some respects, now, you know, mind you, perhaps maybe Ricky created a little bit of that persona on his own. But in some respects, that's got to be a pain in the ass. I mean, we could think about it, right?
Yeah. I disagree a little bit with the premise of does it legitimize him. Maybe it solidifies him as a Cup driver, but you don't get to the Cup level without being a legitimate race driver. I don't care who it is. You know what I mean? You're not getting in a Cup car a ride. You know, those days are long over. You know, you got to work your way up to get there and stay there. You know, you could make that argument maybe of Paul Menard because, you know, his dad's chain sponsors him. But he's won a lot of races, you know, over the years and, you know, even a Brickyard 400. So, you know, I think just getting to the Cup level legitimized Stenhouse Jr. as a driver. Maybe it solidifies him as a Cup driver or, you know, starts to anyway. You know what I mean? You can be a solid Cup driver and not be a Hall of Fame caliber guy. You know what I mean? There's been many over the years in Cup.
That's why, you know, as I was even putting the outline together today for the program and I put that word in there, I kind of cringed at it myself a little bit. And
man,
I thought,
you don't get to
I don't
that
know.
Level.
Is that the appropriate word? Is that really the appropriate word? But look, let's get this one straight. And I dare either one of you to say otherwise. We discount Ricky Stenhouse. We always have.
Well, I think we've been discounting Stenhouse or Roush Fenway Racing because they've been behind the eight ball for the last, what, 3, 4, 5 years now. They've come out and said they're behind. They got behind. They didn't keep up to date computer-wise. Their equipment was behind in technology. You know, they've been saying that for years about Roush Fenway. So I think we just probably discounted that whole organization for quite a while. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Sidekick?
I triple dog dare you.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, it's not really so much a slight at you know, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., though it is kind of fun to poke fun at him. Calling him Ricky Bobby and the mullet and the fact that he's dating Danica and stuff like that. You know, some of that is self-inflicted, but I think a bigger thing is like Brandon just said, we dismissed Jack Roush. You know, they're clearly a fourth-rate team. You know what I mean? Here we go. Furniture row, front row, whatever F row.
Which number?
You know, the Truex, you know, Truex races.
Furniture row.
Furniture row. Sorry. I don't know why I just can't, the two of them, I can't ever keep straight. But, you know, they come in and they're lighting the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Okay,
you know,
but that's an interesting. Okay, you're leading to an interesting point there that was made as well that I read this past week. And you guys might come back at me and go, "Well, Frat House Mike, that what does that matter? That doesn't make any difference at all." Okay, but I throw it out there nonetheless. You make an interesting point. Yeah, here comes Furniture Row, and all of a sudden they're setting the world on fire. Okay, is that Furniture Row? Is that Truex, or is that TRD? Okay? All right. So
or JGR.
Okay, right, okay?
Well,
kind of the same. Okay, so the question then becomes now, Stenhouse, is it Stenhouse, or is it Ford? Because, look, let's get this straight. We've seen the Fords really, really make improvements this year, right?
Except for
I think Stuart Haas Racing being added to the Ford mix gives them a better pool of information to pull from. And I think Penske, as you can see, is kind of, you know, they still won a race or two here and there. You know, they're just not the dominant Ford anymore. You know, now you got Harvick and you got, you know, Kurt Busch, I think, had a win earlier. So
yep.
It's like, you know, you're getting a little of a broader mix of the Fords, you know, showing up now. And Sten and, you know, Roush Racing and, you know, Doug Yates, part of Yates, Roush Yates Motors, still builds all the Fords engines. So, you know, it's not inconceivable to see a Roush Ford pick it up finally, considering he's part owner in all the engines on the track. You know, all the Ford engines are leased from a company run by Yates and Roush. And even though Yates doesn't have any cars anymore, they still build the engines.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Yates is still the head guy. So, you know, it's good. I'll tell you what, I see it as a good thing because you can never have, I think it makes NASCAR stronger when you can have more than one organization or one group winning. You know what I mean? It gives people a reason to show up and root for their guy at the track. And I think it's a good thing for NASCAR. Whether you like Roush Racing or not is irrelevant. You know, I think it's still good for the sport overall to see, you know, more than just TRD or more than just Hendrick and the, you know, Stuart Haas Chevys win all the races. Like, you know, we've seen go back a year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, last year it was all the Toyotas. 2 years before that, it was all the Chevys. You know, it's good to see a better mix. Even if it is a lot of Fords winning, it's Fords from different groups. I mean, like Roush Fenrir Racing really has no ties to Penske or Stuart Haas. You know, I know Stuart Haas is in a technical alliance with Penske now, but, you know, I think it's a little different when you see another brand like that pop up.
Yeah, see, and I don't know what happened to Roush, Roush Fenway Racing. I think when Fenway got involved, you know, I think Jack was, you know, he was having troubles with the team, if I remember correctly. But, you know,
no.
You look at
Stuart, Jack
Roush,
he refused to embrace the technology of the computers. And that's why they got behind. They came out and admitted it after the fact.
Yeah,
they didn't spend
because,
when they should have.
You know, you look at his stable of drivers, Trevor Bayne, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Chris Buescher, Ryan Reed, and Bubba Wallace. His
That's
team,
good.
Really,
That's a good team.
It really looks like he's a developmental team. Even though he's at the Monster Energy Cup level, you really look at his organization,
when
and
he was
he
strong.
Really just looks like a developmental organization.
But
yeah,
that's how he built it when he was strong, Psychic. I mean, Carl Edwards came up from, and Greg Biffle both went trucks, Xfinity, Cup, all in the Roush organization.
Yeah,
that's how, and
right.
Matt Kenseth as well. I mean, they all did it.
But that's the way he did it.
But he got behind the times at the Cup level, and that's what's kind of choked off his organization.
Well, right. And then you had Edwards. You know, you had his whole, you know, as you mentioned,
left,
his whole
yeah,
stable
right.
left.
Yeah, every one of them left.
Right. Edwards and Biffle all left, you know.
Biffle's not even racing anymore, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, you know, basically, Biffle, I think, retired.
Well, I think I don't think he retired of his own accord. He retired because he had no other option. He had
right,
no rides.
Right. I don't ever remember hearing an official on that, you know, that he actually retired, so.
There's just no open seats for him.
But I mean, you know, you mentioned that crew of drivers right there, Psychic, and I got to be honest with you. Yeah, they might be developmental, and that might be a good word for it. But can I tell you what I see there? I see a bunch of potential champions. There's not a name there that I don't think could be a champion in the future.
Oh, and I don't disagree with you, but I kind of feel like they're going to leave the nest, and that's when they're going to become a champion.
Well, all the more reason why it would seem, you know, maybe Roush is getting their act together at the right time. You start to see people like Stenhouse get a win or two, and, you know, as this one article points out, you know, perhaps maybe Stenhouse can credit some of the success this year to the improvements coming from Ford Racing. So that being the case, maybe that'll make Roush a little more attractive, you see? And, you know, people won't be bailing out on him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like anything, I agree with you.
It's like anything else. It's like anything else, right? It's like any free agent, you know, in any other sport, football player. I want to go play for a winner.
Absolutely.
But where was I going to go? I wanted to ask, there was something I was going to ask you, Psychic, whether you wanted to respond to the legitimacy question or not.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that term necessarily.
I think we all agree then. We don't like the term. Even yeah. Fred Housemike said when he wrote it, he was like, yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about the wording of that.
I think we can all agree. It's just that to me, we've always kind of poked fun, as you pointed out, Psychic. And see, so therefore, I didn't know what other word to use. You know,
yeah.
In light of the fact we kind of poked fun at the kid, you know, and kind of demeaned him a little bit. You know, are we supposed to stop doing that now? I guess we got to kind of lay
demean,
off a little bit, don't we now?
No, because we demean a lot of drivers.
Well, he's going to take grief for dating Danica. You know, he's going to get grief for that. Come on, you know that.
Yeah, but I mean, how long have we, were we dogging Biffle? And we dogged Newman.
We still dog Newman.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
We already dogged him in this show.
You know the thing is, it's nice to see Ricky break his cherry.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? You know, like we were talking about Kyle Larson. All right, you know. Now, the difference between the two is, you know, when we talk about Kyle Larson, we're like, come on, this kid's got to get a win. I mean, he's sniffing the damn finish line. Whereas, you know, we talk about, you know, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and it's like, yeah, you know.
He has run better though this year. He has. You have seen him be up more at the front.
And see, he won on a track that is probably a strong suit for him.
I'm not going to demean his win based on where it was because
if you can win on a restrictor plate, you're doing something right. I'm not trying to demean his win at all. What I'm saying is he like you just said, he's a good restrictor plate track racer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he won on a track that, you know, he's good on, you know? So it's good to see him get that win. Now what he's got to do is he's got to start being good at these other tracks.
Yeah, he's got to get a win
on
a different size track. Right.
Yeah, you know, and kind of spread it out, you know. We see how prolific Jimmy Johnson is. You can count on one hand tracks that Jimmy Johnson either hasn't had multiple wins at or had a win on. You know what I mean? You talk about Junior, you know, when it comes to fantasy, everybody puts Junior on their roster at a restrictor plate track and Michigan.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, you know, some drivers are really good at certain types of tracks, like Michael Waltrip, Talladega, Daytona.
Yep.
Prior to this year, those were always his track. You know, even though he wasn't a full-time racer, he'd show up at those tracks, and sure as whatever, you know, for his little $10 or whatever it was to put him on our roster, we were putting him on our roster.
Yep. Well, like we talked about last night, the track ringers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we used to, you know, the Boris said.
We don't see it as much. We don't see it as much anymore, which is rather interesting. But, you know, it was just, what, 5-6 years ago, you know, we used to talk about the restrictor plate ringers, you know, like a Michael Waltrip, or the road track, road course winner ringers, you know, as you point out, like Boris said. But, you know, not as, you don't see it as much now. But, no, you're absolutely right.
Right.
Well, and
they,
but
you know, they've changed some of the rules.
Right.
And, you know, and I think the skill level of the drivers, now that they're, you know, they're really getting, you know, the two races a year, plus, you know, whatever they're doing at the Xfinity level, you know, with the road course races, you know, so the skill levels come up where you don't necessarily need the ringers in there anymore.
I've actually seen a report, and not to derail this, but you're talking about specialty drivers, et cetera, and specialty track. There's a report that the Brickyard 400 next year could be run on the road course within Indianapolis Speedway. In other words, there is a road course that goes in the infield, and there's actually a report out there that next year's Brickyard 400 will indeed be a road course race.
I did see
run,
that, and they were talking about moving the date, too.
Run at the Brickyard within the you know,
wow,
on part of the big track and in the infield. They've actually had MotoGP and Formula One races on this track. It's a top-shelf track, even at the road course part. It's not a half-baked thing like they're trying to do down in Charlotte for the fall race. This is a legit road course built that's built into Indy. I mean, if you have F1 and MotoGP there, you got the top two series, you know, the top car and the top bike series in the world at it. That's not, you know, they won't go to tracks unless they're up to speed.
Ah, you know, I don't want to complain.
I was going to say that's one of those things where I'm putting my old school NASCAR hat on. You know, leave the Brickyard 400 the way it was.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll
be honest with you. I think the Brickyard sucks for stock cars.
I know,
I
you
think
don't
it's
like
good
it.
For Indy cars. I don't think the stock cars are – I think the track is too flat and too tight for the stock cars to have a really good race. And you know what? If you can incorporate the part of the Brickyard – and the road course and make a better race for the stock cars, I'm down with that. Personally,
I know.
I'm going to be different
you
from
like
you
it.
Two. I don't think
don't
the Brickyard
like
400
I like
ever...
Indy.
I like it. I like the Indy 500. I enjoy watching the Indy cars go around that track. I do not enjoy NASCAR going around that track. They really...
I'm hesitating to complain about it because we have sat here now for... lo, these many, many seasons on the air and have said, we need another road course on the schedule. We need another road course.
Well, we all
know,
won Road America. That's part of the problem.
Yep.
Yeah, I want
the lovely track in the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin.
You know what I mean?
What do you want?
I don't
what do you want? Like,
you know, I want a real road course. I don't want one of these multi-purpose. You know, I want a track that legit is, that's its purpose, is it's a road course. Like a Watkins Glen, a Road America,
Sonoma.
With the one out, Sonoma. You know what I mean?
You want a dedicated facility that's only a road course, not that has both.
Yeah. Versus, you know, like them trying to do it in Charlotte and every other thing.
Let's go out
I'll
in the
tell
streets.
You what.
Let's go in the
I'll
streets.
Tell you what. Well, that's the old Grand Prix formula where you put it on
exactly, exactly.
Street. I'll tell you what, if they can make it a good show, and the facility can support it, I have questions about a road course that sits in the middle of a mile and a half track that it can actually be a legit road course. But Indy on a flat 2 mile, I have no doubt that and I've seen races there. You know, I've seen big league races on television at that road course. And it's an impressive track. You know, you don't even realize you're at the Brickyard because it's that good. So, you know, I think I think if you you should totally withhold final judgment till you get to see it in action,
yeah,
if they ever do,
yeah,
do it.
I, well, obviously,
well,
I will, but
yeah.
You know, here we, well, I was going to say, can't we do both? See, because I'm still with Sidekick. I just don't want to see the old Brickyard.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think NASCAR and the NASCAR community likes that race on the oval that much. I think that's why they're looking at this as an option. You know, Goodyear hates it because, you know, they got to make, you know, a 3,500-pound car with half the tread of an Indy car, which is half the weight, go around the same part of the, you know, the same turns and the same track. So from an engineering point of view, you know, you got a lot less surface area for the tire and a lot heavier car you're trying to make go around them turns at speed. That's not fun for the tire manufacturer. And we've seen many Goodyear or many Brickyard 400s where tires were an issue over the years. So, you know, that could be a driving force behind it too. You know, as, you know, Goodyear, they have some say in some stuff. I don't know if they would have that kind of pull to do that, but you know, it's just something to think about. That's all.
Now, as corny as this sounds, and that, you know, I have my racing game that I play pretty religiously, and I in that game I've done the road course circuit at Indy and the road course circuit at Daytona. So I have kind of, you know, it's obviously virtual, but I have seen it, and it, you know, I guess, you know, I might be a little open to it. It's just that for me, you know, July, the Brickyard 400, that race in particular, it's, you know, that's what, you know, I kind of look forward to. You know what I mean? You know, now if they could do, you know, maybe another race or something, that I might, you know, but I know they're only going to go to Indy once.
Right.
See,
that's what I was just saying. Right. And I'm in agreement with you. If they could do Indy twice and throw that in there on the second time round or something.
Maybe I'll watch it one time and you know, and see and kind of, you know, open my mind a little bit. But, you know, for me, you know, initially hearing it, I'm like, no, I don't like that idea whatsoever.
Just as a point of reference, because Brandon, you were bringing it up, saying how Stenhouse, you know, it seems he's been running better this year all the way around. In fact, if you take a look at the point standings, you know, eliminate the wins. Take a look at the point standings. Ricky Stenhouse right now sits 12th, so not bad. That's not bad at all. So.
I think as a whole, at least from Ricky Stenhouse, at least the Roush Fenway appears to be getting their act together. At least, you know, they're catching up.
Yep.
Let's put it that way.
Yep, absolutely.
They're catching up.
And
they're probably doing it with help from Ford and the alliances, and that's fine. Everybody else does it. There's nothing... I don't think there's anything untoward about that. All the other manufacturers, you know, Toyota has no qualms about the fact that, you know, TRD and JGR and Furniture Row are all, you know, essentially one the way they do stuff. So, you know, Chevrolet has always been that way in the past with Hendrick and Stuart Haas, and Hendrick shares information. Now, for whatever reason, Childress and Hendrick never seem to get on the you know, same page with the Chevrolet sharing, but, you know, maybe they need to, you know, take notes from, you know, Toyota and Ford.
Let's see what else, just a takeaway from, Talladega in our weekly update on, who got penalized this week. As I pointed out in the intro, the spinner this week landed on Aric Almirola, who just happened to come in fourth place, had a very good finish. Again, as I point out, you got to always put the caveat in there that it's Talladega, baby. So you know. But nonetheless, take that fourth place finish. It gets a fourth place finish, and well, 3-4 days later, turns around and just hands back 35 points. Failure to pass the later post-race laser inspection, gentlemen. Snake pit again. Here we go. Crew chief suspended 3 races and fined $65,000. 35 driver points plus 35 owner points taken away from Richard Petty Motorsports. So that's just our weekly update. Yes, we'll bring those every week because, I don't know, sometimes it just seems petty. Yeah, and this week it was petty.
Oh, ba-dum-ba.
yeah, where's my, there it is, I got it.
There we go.
In our young driver segment, best young driver last week, 12th place finish for Kyle Larson. Ty Dillon, 13th. Daniel Suarez, 19th. And then a lot of our younger drivers then knocked out of the race one reason or another because of, you know, big ones or collisions or what have you. Eric Jones came in 33rd after getting a 10th place in stage one and a 9th place. Ryan Blaney came in 39th after a 9th place finish in stage one and a 3rd place finish in stage two. Austin Dillon, 36th. Chase Elliott, 30th. And as we said, if you go back and take a look at the video of the big one, as I pointed out, in around lap 168 at Talladega last week, Chase Elliott, along with A.J. Allmendinger, were the two that kind of got together on that one, which ended up with Chase Elliott being pushed with the front end of his car up on the wall. And Chase, you know, just run a good little stretch there along that racetrack. It was a pretty awesome video, actually. Allmendinger up on his upside down on the roof. Amazed, gentlemen, at how they got that thing turned over. I was absolutely blown away. I thought they were just going to, like, I thought it would be more jolting than that, but boy, they just turned that thing over real easy. I've never seen that done before. It was fascinating to watch. Big one, guys. Any thoughts on the big one?
It was a big one, Ari. It was a mess.
It was, yeah. I was going to say fun, but not if you're in the driver's seat. Not if you're in the driver's seat.
Can I tell you, it almost becomes a normal anymore at these kind of races. I restrict your plaque track.
I know.
Yeah. It's just like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess from a fan's point of view, it's not as, what's the word, dramatic or as big of a deal as it once was, at least to me anyway. It's
jaw-dropping.
Lost some of its luster.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not as impactful. Yeah, that's a pretty good description. And so that's just, you know, it's just like, oh, damn, I guess it's time to go get a snack and a drink because they're going to be cleaning the track up for 20 minutes now.
See, you are showing your age. You know, you're showing your age and, you know, you're getting, you know, I don't know. Anyhow, we got about.
Just saying.
I hear you, though.
You got 20 cars in an accident. You're going to have to clean it up.
And they did red flag it. That one was red flagged. Yes, we saw that.
Yep.
Yeah, you're just too pragmatic. I don't know what to tell you. Anyhow, tomorrow we are at Kansas. And we only have about 6 minutes here, so I do want to get this in. Just get everybody's thoughts here real quick on our abbreviated Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Excuse me, tomorrow. Qualifying, as I pointed out, going on live right now. I haven't seen any of it yet, so I'm not quite sure where things stand. But tomorrow's
Ryan Blaney on the pole.
Is it finished?
Yes.
Really? Wow,
just
that
finished.
Was fast.
Well, according to what Liz put in our chat room, it sounds like there were 21 cars in inspection when qualifying started. Among them were Truex Jr., Jones, Clint Boyer, Kurt Busch, Daniel Suarez. Yeah, so a bunch of these guys.
There's our NASCAR controversy for next week.
Yeah, I think a lot of them might have got on the track because just looking at the list she put on the chapboard, I'm pretty sure I saw that Kurt Busch was sick, so he must have made it on the track. But it sounds like they were fighting to get through inspection again.
Ah, dear Lord.
I'll run down the top 10 real quick for you, real fast. Blaney, Logano, Truex Jr., Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott.
Okay. Now, keep this in, for everybody that's listening, and like I said, we got about 4 minutes here. We've only been running at Kansas since 2001, so not a long, long time. Of the active drivers, multiple winners include Jimmy Johnson with 3. He's got the most wins here. He's the most active, most winning driver at Kansas. And only 3 others have multiple wins here at Kansas. Kevin Harvick, Matt Kenseth, and Joey Logano all have 2. That's it. That's it. There's your history for all intent and purpose. Yes, we have a whole bunch of one-time winners, but no multi-time winners. I don't know. I will say this. With regard to our winner selection challenge that we do every year here on the air, Sidekick, you're leading and have been now for the past 2 weeks with 374 points. NASCAR John is at 332, Brandon 294. Excuse me. Loyal listener Liz at 288. I'm at 277, and Christian is at 209. Gentlemen, I don't know if you are prepared to make your selection, but I am, and I've got 3 of our others. So I've got 4. So
I can go. I'm good. I got my
Sidekick,
eye on someone.
I won't ask you this evening to do fantasy selection because you probably haven't given that enough thought yet. But if you want to post that, I guess up over on our Facebook group page tomorrow, you can do that. Are you okay to make a selection here this evening?
Joey Logano.
Ah, Logano. Okay. Alrighty. So I keep going with Logano. NASCAR John is going with Kevin Harvick. Brandon.
I am going to go with Kevin Harvick's teammate, Kurt Busch.
Ah, Kurt Busch.
I think you're going to see a Ford trend here. I mean, I'm just happening to look at the rundown on the TV screen now, and I see lots of Fords in the front. So
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that's a safe bet. This week,
loyal listener Liz is going with Kyle Busch. I haven't done it too many times this season, but I am going to go with Kyle Busch, and Christian is going with Eric Jones. All right, there you have it. That's our abbreviated version of this evening's Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Many thanks to everybody that's been listening in here this evening. Many thanks to comments and listening in as well over there to our loyal listener, Liz. Make sure you're here with me tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I'll be bringing you, as I always do here on Saturday afternoon. I missed last week, but that's all right. That only happens very, very, very rarely. But I'll be here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time for another relaxed Frat House Saturday, and then we will all be back here with you on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time for another Frat House Sports Show number 296.
But you didn't miss of your own accord, though. You were kidnapped and taken scouting missions for the new Frat House.
That's correct. I was.
Frat House 3.
That's right. I was.
So, you know, it's not your own fault. It's just circumstance that led to you having to miss that.
True enough. We were scouting out new broadcast studios. That's what we were doing.
Yep.
All right, anyhow. So be here with me tomorrow afternoon. And in the meantime, hey, get out there and enjoy your sports, folks. Enjoy your racing tomorrow.